This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The headlines say too many American college graduates can't do the basics, can't calculate a tip at the restaurant, can't make sense of a newspaper editorial, can't balance a checkbook. Cartoonists have had a field day with that. Others want action. Some want standardized testing, the kind of testing that the federal government has imposed on K-12 education across the country. A high-powered federal panel is going to recommend something soon. Parents paying megabucks for college may want proof of results. Critics say standardized testing would kill real college education. Up next on Point, calling for accountability and girding for battle on America's college campuses. In a moment, we'll hear from Charles Miller, head of President Bush's Commission on the Future of Higher Education, and from a critic of standardized testing, Leon Botstein, president of Bard College. But first, joining me from Washington is Claudio Sanchez, education correspondent for National Public Radio. Claudio, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
So tell us, describe what's coming at us here. There's a commission, it's been appointed, it's been tasked to do some big things, and one of them is around accountability. What's brewing here, Claudio?
Actually, this commission is looking at accountability, it's looking at costs, it's looking at quality. The headline it's gotten about standardized tests for college, of course, is a very provocative idea. But again, this is not really new. I mean, back in the late 80s, there was all this discussion about whether colleges were up to snuff, whether students were doing well. A lot of this driven by the concern that, the United States was losing its edge in technology and so forth. And there have been different flashpoints. I think there's a reason why U.S. News World Report and its record and its reports on higher education quality, its rankings, of course, just fly off the shelves when these things come out. And that is that for a long time, higher education has said, look, trust us, we're doing a good job. Now, the commission that was appointed back in September by Secretary Spellings, with the full support, of course, of the Bush administration, is saying we need something that says to us, we are doing or you are doing a good job. And one of those issues is, are students being prepared adequately?
As you say, not a new debate, but global competition rising, costs rising, and now the country has been acclimated to standardized testing. Not everybody likes it, but it's all over the place in K-12 now. What exactly is being expected from this commission at this point, Claudio?
That's really the big question. Mr. Miller, the chairman of the commission, of course, who you're going to have later on your show, has, on the one hand, said, look, we do need something to gauge what students are learning. Others have proposed that, there are already existing examinations, the ACT work keys, and there's a couple of others, come to mind, that or the graduate record examination. I mean, there's all kinds of instruments already there that gauge what students are learning in certain disciplines. The question is, can we have a single or at least two ways of confirming nationwide, kind of like a cookie-cutter approach, which is what critics have called it, to accountability, meaning, are these students up to snuff when they leave college? And these are skills, I guess, that people are looking at, writing skills, problem-solving skills. And as you pointed out, there's already some data out there that says that some students just don't have those skills when they leave. Whether we have a national, I guess the only thing I'd add is that some members of the commission feel it's a little premature to suggest that, this commission is going to come out in the next 7 or 8 months and say we need one single instrument, one test, and all 10,000 institutions, 4-year and 2-year colleges, are going to be obligated to use these instruments if they're getting some kind of federal aid. They say it's a little too early to say that.
And Charles Miller himself puts it in different terms, and yet the standardized model is there. It gives some people the willies. What's the pushback, Claudio? Those who oppose this, what do they say?
Well, I'll quote David Warren of the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities, who's been very outspoken about this. He said to us in our story in the last few days that that you can't have outcomes like test results, for example, unless you have national standards. You can't have national standards without a national curriculum. And he fears that that's the direction that the commission is going. It's a cookie-cutter approach to accountability, he says. And it's a huge mistake because it really puts the institutions in a collision course with the federal government's agenda, with even the business agenda. I mean, it's institutional mission. This is what is sacrosanct for institutions. You know, the mission or the autonomy anyway to determine for itself how it gauges success and so forth versus the federal government's, I think, legitimate point, which is, look, we're putting $80 billion into higher education just under a fourth of what higher education is spending. And we need to see some results. We need to tie that to make sure anyway that the taxpayer knows that that money is being spent wisely. And Mr. Miller himself has said repeatedly, we don't know where that money is going and how it's being used.
And of course, that $80 billion means a lot of leverage for the federal government, even with private institutions. This isn't just a public institution issue we're talking about.
Exactly.
Claudio, thanks very much for your debrief. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Claudio Sanchez is education correspondent for NPR. He spoke with us from Washington. We're talking this hour about the push for testing across American colleges and universities. Joining us now from Houston is Charles Miller, chairman of the Commission on the Future of Higher Education, named last year by President Bush's Secretary of Education, Margaret Spelling. He's a businessman and investor from 2001 to 2004. He was chairman of the University of Texas System's Board of Regents, a position he was appointed to by then Governor George W. Bush. Mr. Miller, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. Our commission's been asked by the Secretary of Education to have a national dialogue about the future of higher education, and so we really appreciate your allowing us to do that.
Well, we're in the middle of it right now. We're grateful to you for joining us. I want to welcome also, if I may, Charles Miller from Florida joining us is Leon Botstein. He's president of Bard College in Annandale-on-Hudson, New York. President Botstein, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Charles Miller, first to you. What's the problem you're looking to address here, and what does it look like you're going to propose? You've got recommendations coming out later this year. Where are you headed?
Well, on the latter question, we don't have any decisions today. We're taking input from a large number of people. We've been in existence for 4 months as of today. We have opinions expressed by some of the commission members, but they're not very conclusive, and we're getting input from all sorts of places, and we have gotten significant input, obviously, on assessment. I think some of the things your previous speaker said about what the commission might or might not do seem very much off the mark, and people are making statements and then trying to defend the statements as if the commission said that.
USA Today reported in December that you were calling it highly probable that the commission would recommend testing.
Well, of course, testing. Let me just say that a higher education is the strongest advocate of standardized tests. In other words, a standard test is an instrument most widely used in higher education and has been for a long time. So that's a very neutral statement.
Well, testing is widely used, but nationally standardized testing, that would be a different thing.
Let me go ahead and say that. AP tests are used in high school for college credit and for encouraging children to get ready for college, students in high school to even get credit. So that's a national standardized test. SAT and ACT are tests for entrance or placement actually for college, and they're widely used and they're national. And a GRE, which was mentioned, I believe a graduate record exam, is used regularly in some form or another for most graduate programs in colleges. So the people that use them and actually produce them the most are colleges. We use an LSAT for a standardized test for entrance to law school and MCAT for medical schools.
Right, so lots and lots of tests out there, some of them national, but it's a different thing than the kind of standardized testing we've seen coming to K-12 recently. What's the problem you're looking to address here, Mr. Miller? Why this push?
I'd say the real problem is we're getting a lot of signals from a lot of different sources that colleges aren't producing the amount of learning or the kind of learning that we should expect, especially for the kinds of investments we have. There's a lot of evidence about that, and it's been going on a long time before the commission was formed. I could give you a few examples. There was a think tank in in 2000 that put out the first report giving each state a grade on five elements of their higher education or college system. And they gave on learning an incomplete for every state. In other words, and that was the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education. We didn't have any good information about what students were learning. The RAND Corporation started about the same time independently with funding from other major foundations, independent, hiring the best psychometricians around to study ways to measure learning. And they've come up recently with some examples of that, and a large number of colleges participated in that. And that's more or less a breakthrough type effort, hadn't been done before. We haven't had a lot of experience with it yet.
And a lot of heads. If I can just get Leon Botstein in here for a moment.
The Business and Education Coalition did a report two years ago that it said the same thing. The Commission on Accountability 2 years ago, that was a bipartisan effort led by two former governors and the Secretary of Education, said that we're having serious problems with our workforce. They're coming out of colleges either in some cases virtually illiterate or not able to deal with the current needs of a workforce, and especially unlikely to deal with the future needs of the workforce.
Hold that thought. President Botstein, if I may come to you for a moment before the break here, are you worried that what we're seeing coming on is standardized testing that would, I don't know, put American college education in a straitjacket?
Well, I think that, frankly, it's a lot of lack of common sense and a lot of nonsense. The problem starts much earlier. The people that are produced by high school are so poorly served that the colleges are now in a remedial function. Blaming the colleges is absolutely wrong. Most of the money the federal government puts in is research. We actually happen to have the best university system in the world.
Leon Botstein, Charles Miller was saying earlier, we've got a lot of national tests already, GREs and LSATs and all the rest. What about a few more here?
Well, Tom, I want to say that, first of all, we are very heavily testing already, as was mentioned. In addition, these places are accredited with enormous numbers of different kinds of operations, state operations, regional accrediting associations. And the standardized testing that's being talked about is a dismal failure. Why are we in this problem to begin with? Everybody's right. The students are not well prepared. But the damage is done so severely in elementary and secondary school, particularly secondary school, and all the high-stakes testing is, in fact, an expensive failure. You can teach the test, but when you get to college and higher education, where you're the driver of the learning, whether you want to be an engineer or you want to be a teacher or you want to be a nurse, when you drive that yourself, you have to be able to think, and you may have passed some tests, standardized tests, but you're not prepared for the kind of work that goes on in a university.
But even so,
would like to respond, because I think I don't want to be shortened with premises that are inaccurate. There's no discussion of making the kind of test you said in the premise. I hear the higher education people blame high schools. I heard them blame students, but I hear no responsibility for doing it themselves.
Nonsense. What you're saying is utter nonsense. I take responsibility. We all take responsibility for what we do. But the job is different. The job is teaching, and a different kind of teaching. And we're not blaming the high schools, but the high schools haven't done the job. I'm sorry,
they just
haven't done the job.
If you take
the entrance examinations, you see the literacy level of entering freshmen in state universities, it's not what 12 years of schooling should provide. You're asking us to do the remediation. We're happy to do it, but that's not the way people should learn.
Charles Miller, let us look at this in simple steps here.
Let me answer the question, because it's not fair to have the other speakers speak that. Let me say that we have some issues about high school preparation, but if a university or a college accepts a student and then lays off the blame that they can't do anything, what's the morality of accepting a student they can't do anything with? I mean, you could say that's improper. Maybe they shouldn't accept a student if they're not prepared, but that's an improper conclusion. We know there's some failures all through this. Well, but if you say they're coming to college and the reason they're failing is because you didn't get the right student, you're blaming the students and you're blaming the high school.
Charles Miller, Leon Botstein, I want to ask a question to Mr. Miller here. If students are coming out of high school, where we do now have standardized testing in the lower grades shaping these students, and they're not able to balance the checkbook, able to read a newspaper editorial, able to calculate a tip, doesn't that reflect on the efficacy of standardized testing in K-12 education? Why would we want to extend that into college?
Because nobody's suggesting we do that, and we keep saying that premise.
What are
and
you suggesting say, plainly,
and,
then,
and
please?
Because standardized testing are only recently being used. They're only used in earlier grades. They're very rarely now used in high school for exit exams. They may begin to be used more broadly, and it may show some promise or may not. But the
So you're open to it?
Yeah, well, no, I'm not open to any standardized tests that are uniform or across the board or nationally mandated or directed, nor is anybody else that I know of that's talking about it. That's a premise that keeps being put out there without anybody saying it.
What are you pushing for, then?
Well, okay, then let me – thank you. Let me say that. There's a fairly good indication that modern business and modern job requirements and lifestyle requirements would include things, skills like critical thinking skills, analytical reasoning skills, problem-solving skills, and written communication skills.
So what kind of measure are you pushing for?
Well, though there is some test or a series of assessments that could measure those. They're not the traditional kind of test. That's a breakthrough. There are others that are being developed. There are some that are in measure some of those and not others, and I expect there'll be a large number of ideas of how to do it. And they
so
might
it
be
is testing you're looking toward then.
Well, I think you have to have some measure mm-hmm, assessment mm-hmm, of student mm-hmm, learning because mm-hmm. what else do you have? Otherwise, you just have a certificate or a measure of seat time. And what we're saying today is, and it's fairly widely accepted, we're not getting students educated the way we need in college. And
what about the tests already being taken by students in colleges and universities, all the midterms and finals? These are accredited schools.
Well, some of those have some applicability, particularly on subject matters, but what we're hearing is there is grade inflation, and when people get out of college, there's a lot of evidence they're not getting what we're thinking they should get, or they claim they're being delivered, and there's no incentive for that to happen on most campuses. There's no measure of how well that's being produced.
So you're saying the testing premise is inaccurate, but I do hear you pushing towards some kind of national measure using it. You're saying it's becoming more sophisticated?
No, mm-hmm. we may have a national measure that universities or colleges widely accept, and it's going to be up to them to produce it and to accept it. There isn't any way with the variety of and diversity of colleges we have today that you'd want one measure. But if you could accept those skills I just mentioned mm-hmm. as very important skills, mm-hmm. those can be transmitted in colleges and universities. And if they were measured during the time the student was there, or entrance or exit or whatever, not for any other purpose than attaining those skills, that would be able to allow the institutions to produce that skill. Is there something wrong with learning how to write written communications when we know from the literacy test recently produced that we have virtually illiterate college graduates, a significant percentage of
them? All right, let me turn to President Botstein then, if I may. And Leon Botstein, let me ask you this. We have your point. You wish that these basic schools were inculcated in K through 12, that high school grads already had them. On the other hand, Charles Miller says, how can we afford to have graduates coming out of college who don't have these skills? We hear your fear that this would undercut the essence of college education, but is there some middle ground here?
Well, Mr. Miller, something constructive can come out of this. First of all, there's a tremendous pressure on the state institutions, not the selective ones, to take kids who graduate high school. So you're passing off an unsuccessful product.
Right, we've
then
got that.
There's
we've
pressure
got that.
To graduate them. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right. If we really had a good system, we would make college less hard to get into and much harder to get out of. He's absolutely right that there's a corruption in giving degrees to people who don't deserve it.
So is there a way to introduce accountability here across the country?
The accountability would be for the institutions not to feel under pressure because they're state-funded or government-funded to graduate everybody. The second issue, which he's right about indirectly, is that too many of these universities are interested in research and not teaching. So if you could actually put some real pressure on these universities to spend real faculty time in the classroom, you might get better results.
And what about a measurement of those results?
Well, the measurement, you made the point yourself very well. You know, we test all the time. Every class has an examination. Every faculty member, every physics teacher, every math teacher in a university gives exams. And although there is grade inflation, the fact is that the grade inflation is a function of that can be adjusted. That's really itself not a major issue. The major issue is the accrediting process sufficient to ensure that the testing is on a high level?
So you want schools at risk of losing their accreditation if they graduate ill-educated grads?
I think the accreditation should be much tougher. The other thing is, you pointed out, and I think Mr. Miller also, that what are we teaching? If they really want Americans to learn how to problem solve and critical thinking and all of that, then you have to look at the undergraduate undergraduate curriculum. The undergraduate curriculum can't simply be a list of courses that are generated by graduate schools. So there has to be a re-emphasis of these big university systems, particularly on undergraduate teaching,
all right.
If that's what they want.
I'd like to turn, if I may, to a voice of this generation that may be looking at this.
May I just add one more thing?
Mr. Miller, if you'll just hold on for a second, I've got a guest who's right on the line with us.
Sure.
She is a student who's right out there in the middle of America who may be facing whatever it is that you great ones produce here. Kim Adams is with us from Columbia, Missouri. She's a columnist for The Maneater, the student paper at the University of Missouri, Columbia. She's 19 years old, a sophomore. Kim, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi.
We're grateful to you for joining us. We're hearing a lot of passion here this morning about the issue of accountability around college education, Kim. And one thing on the table is looking for more measurement so that the country knows that its college grads are ready to go out and compete, you know, nationally and globally. What do you think, as a 19-year-old college student, about bringing more measurement to the results of your college education?
Well, I understand, you know, it's understandable that everyone wants to know, you know, parents and educators want to know, you know, that a college graduate is getting the skills necessary. But all of the students by now, we've been through so much standardized testing. And the great thing about college is that when you get there, finally, class doesn't become about teaching to this test. Teaching, and half the time, teaching the test doesn't work. And we finally get a chance to sit down and learn for the sake of learning. And standardized testing just, it doesn't help.
So what do you say to the country's challenge here if some unacceptable percentage of college grads, you know, can't do the basics? How should that be addressed?
Well, I think a lot of it, which, you know, other people have spoken to, is that students are coming to college without the skills that they need. But we've been testing students, you know, at the high school level, at the middle school level. Now, I started taking standardized tests when I was in elementary school. And if that's not helping, if students still don't have the skills they need to go to college by the time they get to college, how does adding standardized testing to the college education help that?
All right. There's pushback from Missouri. Kim Adams at the University of Missouri, Columbia. Kim, thank you very much for joining us. I want to let our listeners into this conversation. Simon's calling from Sumter, South Carolina. Hi, Simon. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to respond, first of all, that I agree with your last caller that standardized testing isn't, you know, always a good option because, you know, at least with the President's No Child Left Behind Act, from what I understand of it, you know, students are tested, but I don't really see how the testing helps the students grow.
But what if we do if we have grads who can't cut the mustard?
Well, I do think that's a problem, and I think, you know, I spent 2 years in college recently. I'm taking a year off right now, and one thing that I did see is that as I believe the president of Bard, who was on, pointed out, you know, a lot of students, you know, they need to be mature enough to take responsibility for their own education. And I think that itself is a problem that needs to be addressed. And I would like to see colleges offering more services and more guidance for students.
What about accountability? Where does that come in?
Well, what I'm saying is I think that students themselves need to take responsibility for the resources that universities offer them. And I think there should be a way for universities to facilitate that. But I don't, you know, I don't see how standardized testing does anything except limit what people have to teach and put people into boxes that really isn't, that really shouldn't, you know, in my mind, shouldn't be shouldn't have a place in college.
Simon, we hear it, and we thank you for your call. Charles Miller, how do you measure without boxing in? Is it possible to do that?
Well, there are some advances in testing that we're talking about and seeing that probably aren't widely known even in higher education. Nobody's suggesting boxing anything. The shifting of responsibility to somebody else is fairly traditional in higher ed and other places. So when we keep shifting it to someone else and not the responsibility of higher ed, we're failing our students and our community.
But high school come before college. I mean, it's a sequence.
Yes, and you're right. And we can improve that. Colleges of education could do that. But we can't turn our back and say nothing can be done in higher education. So our focus for the commission is what we can do in higher education, regardless of the other conditions. We know that there can be skills imparted in higher education, even when we get students that are somewhat less prepared. And if we take
Tom,
those students, we
say,
have...
Let me finish my conversation. Yes, please. Mr.
So
one
moment, here's what we're attempting to educate and prepare students today so they're ready to solve future problems not yet identified using technologies not yet invented.
And can you do it without boxing them in?
Yes, of course. You can do it with a number of things. Testing is only one of the many things we're going to look at. We have a lot of disincentives in higher education. I have a book here from the former president of Harvard University, Our Underachieving Colleges. There are some conclusions in there that are pretty pertinent, and a lot of people have reached these conclusions. There are disincentives and no good incentives in most higher education institutions for teaching and learning, and it isn't just because of research. That's true of institutions that focus even on teaching. There just isn't any measurement. Giving tests in class to students who aren't necessarily prepared or are prepared isn't a good indicator, because we've been doing that for a long time and we're still not succeeding.
Leon Botstein, yes?
We want to say that research is the problem. That's another answer for poor teaching and learning. But most federal dollars go to financial aid for students. It's not the dollars in research that are the problem. That's a very positive impact. And so
the federal government
puts a lot of money on the table, and probably closer to $100 billion, and a lot of it's financial aid for students. If we're not letting them get something successful for those dollars, we have a right to ask about it.
And you've described that as leverage. I want to turn to Leon Botstein. Is there, President Botstein, with advances in measurement, I guess that's another word for testing that Charles Miller's talking about, is there a way to come in here without disrupting the full flower of tertiary education and test?
Well, you know, it's very hard to make a judgment of something one has doesn't know anything about. In other words, we don't know what these new instruments are. Perhaps they're good, perhaps they're bad. You know, it's hard to argue for something that doesn't exist. So it isn't, you know, Mr. Miller says, you know, they're underway. But, you know, you can't legislate something in the future with an instrument you don't know. But there are two things I do want to say to what he said. Number one, no one's blaming somebody else. I do think there has to be a re-emphasis on undergraduate teaching and a real emphasis on that. But the other thing, which is ironic, is here we have the federal government that really can do very little very well. The entire nation is skeptical about what the federal government can actually do well. And here they're getting involved in something where there's very little evidence that even if you wanted to improve, which you do have to do, improve the quality of teaching, I agree, it has to be improved. And we don't blame students and we don't blame anybody else, but there is a way of doing it right. And Derek Bach is absolutely right. The former president of Harvard, who has actually pinpointed that colleges are not doing the job, we could do a much better job than we are.
So why all the tension?
Not by the federal government doesn't know what it's doing, and certainly not in education.
So why all the tension in this conversation? Are you afraid then of the federal government coming in and telling you how to teach your students? Is that what it boils down to?
Yes, I'm afraid of the state intervention. The great miracle of American higher education is it's been its independence. There's a private sector, unlike the European nations and like Russia. There's not a state system. There are many, many state systems, and there are private systems. And there's a tremendous diversity, which has encouraged a very high end, particularly in science and technology.
We're joined right now from Stanford, California, by Lee Shulman. He's president of the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching, professor emeritus of education and psychology at Stanford University. Mr. Shulman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So here we are. I mean, we're looking back 2003. The National Assessment of Adult Literacy finds that a third of college graduates it surveyed were not able to read complex English texts and draw complicated inferences. Do we have a problem first, Professor Shulman?
Well, we probably have a problem, and we probably have a number of possible solutions, and standardized testing probably isn't one of them.
Is testing one of them? Is some kind of national measurement one of them? Or if not, then what?
Well, I think, let me hearken back to something that perhaps would be helpful here. Mr. Botstein and I, as I recall, are both graduates of a remarkable institution called the College of the University of Chicago back in the 50s. And that was an institution, ironically, that was very assessment-centered. Extraordinarily creative and powerful assessments were made that were in one sense standardized, because it didn't matter which section of a class you were in. Everyone in those classes received the same assessment at the end of the year, and the entire process was very transparent. What that meant was that both the faculty and the students were very clear on what was being learned, how well it was being learned, and it provided quite powerful feedback to everyone on what needed to be done to make the instruction much more effective.
So what's happened since then? What can we learn? What should be done now?
Well, I think that a lot of the new developments that Mr. Miller is talking about, as far as creative new approaches to assessing what students understand, in many ways go back to some of those very important developments during the heyday of general education back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And the important thing that Mr. Botstein is pointing out is that the assessment alone didn't solve the problems. It was pairing the assessment with a deep commitment to putting our best and brightest faculty into those classrooms with the students to teach in ways that could get reflected in those assessments.
But you hear the backs go up so high here, so quickly. Why are people on a hair trigger about this?
Because there's a difference between having one set, and I know that Mr. Miller isn't saying a standardized test for all American universities and colleges, and I applaud him for that.
And yet, it can be a short step at some point here. I mean, we want some kind of national measure, I'm hearing, at some other level.
I don't know that we do. I think mm-hmm. that if institutions took it upon themselves to be more responsible and transparent about the evidence that they were moving toward their mission, whether that mission was more strongly in the arts or in business or in the sciences, and provided evidence, the way we do with accreditation now, that we are or are not achieving that mission, it would matter far less that we had one single national metric. Mm-hmm. I think there's a fog about that. I don't think that's what we're missing.
Leon Botstein, can you see a way here to scratch this itch that doesn't give people allergies?
Yes, I think that's Mr. Shulman said it very well. The things I would point out is that the tests he's talking about were tied to a curriculum. That means the faculty made a decision in a college or a university what these undergraduates should learn. And that kind of agreement doesn't exist anymore, and it's very hard to get them to do that. The second is the quality of teaching. He made two points. It wasn't the test alone. The test was related to a curriculum, a set of ideas, a set of materials. And in fact, those tests you could take over and over and over again. If you didn't do well, you could take them again. And they were really tied to discovering what you knew and didn't know. But they were developed by the teachers themselves. They weren't mandated by the federal government. They didn't come out of Washington or out of state capital. They were created by the faculty themselves for a curriculum. And the real problem, and Mr. Miller is right about this, and Derek Bach is right about this, Mr. Shulman is right, that in our universities, we simply do not pay attention to the undergraduate, and we are a little frightened, and that's where the great inflation comes in. We're frightened of saying no to young adults and saying, look, you're not working, you're partying, you know, even though in our best efforts, we're not blaming anybody, mm-hmm. but you may not have the maturity, the seriousness to do this. So the fact is, the University of Chicago that Shulman is talking about, the graduation rate wasn't 100%.
Charles Miller, Lee Shulman says you may be onto something good here. I mean, you do come into this, though. I guess part of the reason people's backs get up quickly, you're appointed by George W. Bush, who is identified with standardized testing nationally and No Child Left Behind. You helped implement that in Texas. Do you carry a kind of extra political freight here? Because you're President Bush's man, and he's been a champion of standardized testing. Is that, do you think, why that phrase keeps being slapped on what you're cooking?
Well, I think there's some validity to that, and I understand that. I'm not President Bush's man. I think I'm a individual, independent thinker, but I admire
what he did. He did appoint you in Texas.
Sure, and I admire what we did and what he did. I was associated with some kinds of assessment and accountability. I helped design the system, so I do agree that that's part of what it is. I think there are people that put up straw men or something that then attack them as if it's something we're proposing or it's been discussed. I think I agree with everything Dr. Shulman said, and I doubt I'd ever disagree. He's such a fine analyst to this subject, and I believe transparency is one of the things we've talked about the most, but today we have virtually none of it. Virtually no campus is there even any significant measure of what's happening in teaching and learning other than what an individual professor does in his classroom with a grade, and we know that's not adequate. And these other skills we're talking about can be transparent. transmitted without necessarily the curriculum or something like that. And there's no discussion about a federalized or a national system or anything like that that I know about.
But these sophisticated new tests you're talking about, they can sound like a black box. I mean, you say they're sophisticated and it's not a standardized test, but what keeps it from morphing into that? Why doesn't it it get into the individual institution's curricula sooner or later?
Well, it may become a widely used test if it's fairly successful in measuring and in helping institutions know how to transmit those skills, because that's where what we're talking about. Testing isn't by an end by itself, and we've never said that. It's one of the tools you use to reach what you really want the goal to be, which is for the students to learn the necessary skills. So we want to have some instruments to do that. And those that are currently available, those are breakthrough events. They're not widely known yet. There may be other tests, and I expect others measurements and assessments to come forward. That happens. The one test I'm thinking about that measures those skills happens to be a good sample of what we're talking about, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the only one. We adopted an SAT test as a widely used norm type test, but nobody mandated it as much as it was accepted.
Gentlemen, if I may, we have so many listeners who want in here.
Sure.
Let me turn to them. Anne is calling from Florence, Massachusetts. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to just say that if you want the students to learn necessary skills, then fund public education fully and consistently and pay teachers correctly. And I feel that public education has been gutted for years and years and years. Education is constantly fighting to not be falling apart. I've done tons of teaching in public schools that are literally falling apart, where students don't have books, where, you know, and I've taught in colleges where I've got students who are working two jobs because they can't afford to pay their tuition. And I'll tell you something, I've taught a lot of freshmen in college, and I've graded their papers, you know, brand new, shiny new freshmen.
Yep.
Who are illiterate, okay? They cannot write a sentence.
So you say fund it down at the foundation.
Years of this, okay?
But what about more measurement, more testing in college to catch
that and maybe address it? That is a smokescreen, and it's all about not dealing with the real problem, which is that this country does not make a commitment to education ever. And you can talk about $100 million for financial aid and crow about that, compare that to what's being spent in Iraq, and laugh. That is not enough money.
And we've got it. Lee Shulman, what about it? Anne's been at the front lines, and she says we're not taking care of the basics here. No surprise you've got illiteracy in college.
Well, first of all, let's not get too alarmist. It's not illiteracy across the board. But I think Anne's absolutely right. But also the colleges bear some responsibility for that, to the extent, for example, that we're not teaching mathematics adequately at the elementary level. A good deal of that is attributable to the fact that we're not holding the mathematics departments in our colleges and universities responsible for teaching adequate mathematics to the future teachers of our kids.
But that should be simple to measure, shouldn't it? Math, teaching math, math measurement?
You know, you don't improve dangerous coal mines by adding more canaries. Just testing more is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as Mr. Botstein said, you've got to get college and university faculties coming together to agree on their curriculum. They will vary from institution to institution, but then take responsibility for teaching to that curriculum. Use your own internal assessments if you must, but you know, when all of this settles, it'll turn out that a large number of the objectives of these institutions actually will be similar. They probably will use some of these instruments in common, but mandating that they all use them, I think, begins a slippery slope that gets back to some of the difficulties we're having in earlier systems as well.
Let me turn to Iowa City, Iowa, and Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I'd just like to make the point that the head of the commission has asserted that there's no systematic movement in place to monitor teaching and learning in the college classroom. That is just patently false. There is a huge movement across this country in various institutions, from community colleges through frontline research intensive universities, that really focuses on the professoriate's role in the classroom, their processes and abilities to help students learn, to increase their development as teachers, their mid-semester reviews of professors' teaching and the learning that they're producing in the classroom. This is increasingly common. This is just patently false. And I believe it's really part of a larger agenda that's widely known that nobody's really talked about yet.
Name it.
Here, well, the agenda is the Bush administration has been after higher education from the minute it got into office.
After it for what?
For whatever reason. Ideological. There's plenty of examples of that in this administration.
You think the call for measurement is somehow could have an ideological or a political complexion?
Well, certainly. I mean, this is Washington. This is politics, you know. It's unreasonable to expect that it wouldn't be part of a larger agenda. I think they've been after higher education for a long time.
But if Mr. Miller's group is looking to increase that emphasis on measurement, which you say is already going on, if that's what they come out recommending, why not welcome it?
Well, you know, I'd welcome it as long as there's increased resources to make sure that happens. But, you know, higher education is like a lot of other systems in this country, and that is there's increasing mandates with decreasing funding. This is widely known.
Joe, thanks very much for your call. President Botstein, what about the political factor here? Do you see a political complexion to this push for more measurement, better measurement?
I don't really know. I think the caller is right on one subject. There's a lot of internal measurement. There's more going on. Mr. Miller is not right that there's not some assessment in institutions. I do think that, you know, one always is suspicious of the federal government. You know, don't tread on me, as the state slogan New Hampshire says. You know, there is something about an intolerance to dissent, concern that the universities is a kind of a liberal bastion, and the University in America has a lot of the location of criticism and dissent, and so even the image of a kind of standardized imprint using the dollar as a kind of lever is, given that the other caller is right. The amount of dollars we spend, it's a lot. It's not nearly what we should in elementary and secondary school or in higher education. But nonetheless, you know, I can understand why someone might be worried about, is there an ideological agenda?
Diego's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Diego, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am in favor of standardized testing in colleges, mm-hmm. and the reason I am in favor of it is because of the following. Currently, we do not have any transparency in universities and what they teach and how it affects the employment of the candidates when they get out. We have so many people graduating from colleges that can't find jobs. There's a global workforce in this day and age because of globalization, and it is very imperative that we have standardized measurements of what the colleges are teaching their students in every year after year until they finish and graduate. That will give us a better edge to compete globally, because it will ensure that we are consistent, and colleges that are so-called Ivy League colleges and universities will also be held to the same standards and measured by the same standards as a community college. And hence, currently, I believe there's strong resistance to this policy, which is proposed because of these powerful vested interests.
So you say, bring it on, and we hear it, Diego. Charles Miller, you talk quite a bit about leverage here, about the leverage that your commission and the federal government will have in promoting whatever you end up with. What is your leverage? How do you intend to use it?
Well, I think anytime you're talking about public dollars or public policy, of course, there's a political or public decision to be made. I think the dialogue is what will happen. I think the key word that we heard earlier, Dr. Shulman said, transparency. So the discussion itself has a lot of benefit, and that will uncover or cover some issues that will get the public and the business community involved. I hear a lot of interest from the business community, and we've talked to them. We have a representative group. It's not one group only, and they have a cross-section of opinions. We're beginning to hear some of these things now more widely debated. That's one of the purposes of the commission. In fact, the title is a dialogue. I want to quote Dr. Bach again. There's no compelling necessity to re-examine familiar forms of instruction and experiment with new pedagogic methods in an effort to help their students accomplish more. In other words, we do it the same way. The fundamental reason for the lack of such pressure is the difficulty of judging how successful colleges are in helping their students to learn and develop, because the quality of teaching and learning is all but unknown to persons outside the college in question.
Yep.
We just don't really have the way to do that. The we being most of us that want to have the best higher education system in the world. The public's confused. The students are, especially when they get out of school. The business community that hires those people are telling us in near alarm form that we're not getting what we need for the future or to be competitive in the world.
Lee Shulman, last word goes to you here. Are we going to have a college system we recognize in 10 years? Or are we going to have something new as a result here?
Well, I think the best answer I can give is based on a discussion I had with the Deputy Minister of Education in China a couple of years ago, who said, how is it that we Chinese are at the top of all the international standardized comparative tests that are given, and yet all the creative contributions are made by you folks in Silicon Valley? And I said, it's because you're measuring exactly the same thing in every one of your schools. And our great strength is the diversity of our institutions and what it is we teach. We can't risk letting the transparency lead to absolute similarity among our products. But the transparency itself can be very helpful.
Well, there it's on the table. Lee Shulman at the Carnegie Foundation for Advancement of Teaching, thank you for joining us. President Leon Botstein, president of Bard College, great to have you. And Charles Miller, chairman of the Secretary of Education's Commission on the Future of Higher Education, thank you for being with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.